Hello, everyone. It's great to see so many people on our purely mathematical and cryptographical talk. So I try to rule out as many formulas as possible, but still many of them are left here. So this talk is, of course, intentionally scientific to show up that we are doing something serious. But there will be also, like, important numbers will be on the very last slide, the slide before last. So, like, number of constraints and this sort of stuff will be in the very end. So if you are just coming just for that, you can wait. So this is a joint work of the companies I'm involved with, Evernim and ABDK Consulting, and also our colleagues from universities of Bristol and Graz, Arnab, Lorenzo, Christian, Sebastian, and Marcus. So this kind of work that was conducted a bit independently and then later merged, and still it's kind of work in progress, so we even haven't invented the proper name for the hash function. So, okay, so you probably remember what the hash function is, what property it should have. The good hash function should process arbitrary large input, well, up to some extent, but pretty like that gigabytes should handle. It should be collision resistant, meaning that it should be difficult to find x and y different so that the hashes of them are identical. Well, as long as hash function converts arbitrary large inputs to fixed size outputs, collisions are unavoidable, but they must be difficult to find. Pre-image resistant means that given y, it must be difficult to find x so that h of x is y. Well, hash functions. In Ethereum, you may think of hash functions everywhere, of course, mainly SHA-3. So SHA-3 or Ketchak, the hash function designed by Belgian team in led by Jon Diamond in about 10 years ago. So SHA-3 is built to, is used to build a Patricia tree, to construct addresses out of the public key, and so on and so forth. So it's not like the best, like in terms of not the fastest hash function in the world, but it still can handle up to like 500 megabytes per second. Well, to understand why we need a different hash function, I'll go a bit to the introduction how hash functions are used in SNARKs. So this is some sort of a repetition, a bit of the previous Stark talk. Well, in Bitcoin, we sign, because usually I have to start with Bitcoin, unfortunately, because the zero knowledge proofs apply usually to transaction output UTXO-based systems. So we sign a transaction with some output, and the hash function of transaction is included in the block, and after some point, we spend the output by signing the transaction and the output with the private key that was in the hash. And the crucial point here is that the hash of the transaction is referred in clear text. When you want to introduce a zero-knowledge payment system, this is concealed. The hash is concealed to break up the link between the original transaction to send and the transaction to spend. So when the transaction is sent, it's not only included in the block, but also added to a specially crafted Merkle tree T. And when you want to spend it, you prove that there is, you know, a transaction H, which is in the Merkle tree T, that it has special structure, and you know the private key that is that corresponds to the public key that is in this transaction. And here, the transaction H is referred to in zero knowledge. And the most computationally expensive part in all protocols is to prove that the hash is part of the Merkle tree. So all the others, parts of the proof are rather fast. They all, even with previous, the original Zcash, they can be managed within 1 second. But when you have like 29 or 32 layers in the Merkle tree, this becomes difficult to prove, because the performance of zero-knowledge proven protocols, they scale linearly or even superlinearly with the number of invocations of a hash function. And it turned out very quickly that traditional hash function, like regular hash function, are not quite suited for SNARKs or STARKs or bulletproofs, because their circuits, they are optimized for Intel or AMD processors, for modern architecture, but they are not optimized for the environment where STARKs or SNARKs operate. In these environments are big fields. So the fields are either prime fields, meaning that all kind of our state is a vector of integers modeled on some prime number, and this prime number is 256 bit or 384 bits, depends how afraid you are of recent discrete logarithm complexity estimates. This for SNARKs and bulletproofs. And for STARKs, they are most helpful field, most best field to operate with, as an extent, is a binary field, but not that big. So it's like 2 to the 32, 2 to the 64. That's like the easiest to construct Reed-Solomon proofs. So we can say, we can simplify and say that in SNARKs, a trusted party just kind of applies a secret input to the circuit, and we can say that like all intermediate states are hashed. It's not exactly true, but still, and all of them are published as a proven key. And in bulletproof STARKs, this secret input is not needed, so the proven key is just the circuit itself. And for each proof, the to present a proof, to create a proof, you have to kind of match your execution, your computation, with the proven key, so with the circuit or with the circuit on secret input. So you have to like combine the two traces. And that's why the bigger the circuit is, the longer it takes to construct a proof. And it depends on the circuit size. It also depends on like if it's an algebraic trace, like in SNARKs, like in STARKs, then it depends on the width of the, or the size of the state you operate with, on the degree if you permit arbitrary degree. So different parameters are invoked, and the formulas might not be very simple, but there's still some metric to optimize. And we know this metrics approximately for SNARKs. We know such metrics for bulletproofs. We know such metrics for STARKs. So the question is, the question that should have been put when SNARKs and STARKs were designed. So kind of weak cryptographic community a bit missed this question, this requirement that we there is a need in hash functions that operate in big prime fields or big binary fields that are best in certain metrics, like circuit size or degree size product, like in STARKs, and that they are, of course, secure, because the first two are easy to construct. It's difficult to create a secure one. And fortunately, our cryptographic and cryptanalytic experience allows us to create really fast hash functions, because we know certain constructions that are reasonably, that are certainly fast, and that we have analyze them with cryptanalysis for years, for decades, and we know like the methods that could work, the methods that usually do not work, and we can quickly make a hash function that is secure and that satisfies these requirements. So one of the first approach was MIMC about 3 years ago, and the ideas of MIMC was pretty simple. So in the core of the MIMC, there is a permutation. So originally it appeared as a cipher, but if you want hash function, the key can be a random number. It's okay here. So the idea is very simple. So you have you add some constant, then you and you operate in a big field by default, some prime field, and then you raise your result to the power of 3 in this field. So you square and then multiply again. Then you add the constant. Then you put to the power raise to the power of 3. Then add constant to the power of 3 and so on. And each time the degree. So if you express actually, it's easy to show that typical cryptanalytic attacks like differential linear cryptanalysis don't work here because of algebraic structure, because the state is very wide. But algebraic attacks work. And the thing is, we have to make the degree of the polynomial that corresponds to this, to the output of the function. We have to make that the polynomial is of high degree to prevent various sorts of attacks. And the degree increases, like the degree multiplies by 3 each time, and the maximum possible degree is actually 2 to the n, when n is the width of the state, and we have to execute like a bit less than n steps to achieve maximum degree. Well, actually a bit more, but this is like the order, so that you understand, like if your permutation is, I don't know, 250 bits wide, then you need kind of at least 100 something steps to achieve maximum degree. Okay, so there are also Pedersen hash proposals, but we can directly go to our contributions because the others are not exact. So they are in different paradigm constructed and kind of not so interesting for us. So our contributions consist of two parts. So the first part is more generic. So it's about Merkle trees. And it turns out that we can do we can handle Merkle trees substantially better than before. Recall, well, this is like three-layer Merkle trees, Merkle tree that handles eight messages. Well, suppose for simplicity that the hash function, it takes like two, we consider a compression function that compresses with the ratio 2:1, and every message is of the size of the hash function output. And then in this case, you need n layers to hash to the n messages. Okay. And the thing is, the very nice thing is you can do better because you can, when you have four, when you have two layers, you can process more than four messages. You can take fifth one and inject carefully, we XOR, in several hash function outputs, in three. And, well, you have to, and using that, you can, for every like two layers, you can process not four messages, but five messages, and that's give you, well, not so big, but something like 20%, 15-20% increase in performance it should give. And this works for every hash function. And collision pre-mesh resistance a bit decreases, but collision resistance remains at the same point. So generalized Bird effect also doesn't seem to work. And this construction works for any hash function. Even more efficiently, if we have a hash function that takes, that can consume a bit very large input. Well, with regular hash functions, we already have that. Like we can feed a very big input to SHA-3, but it will be, a sort of a sequential invocation. And here, suppose that our hash function is tailored to very large input size. So the output size is small, but what if the input size is big and we use this large width to achieve cryptographic security? The thing is, we can then decrease the number of layers, of course. So if, for example, you process the ratio is 4:1, that you need twice fewer layers. And what do we need? How can we do that? So what's the most optimal way of operation? And it turns out that if we want to process some very wide input with a hash function, then a very secure and construction is the framework. It's a called sponge mode of operation, and it's based on permutations. Very wide permutation means permutation. I mean that it's transformation, easily invertible transformation that applies to a very wide block. Here, the permutation is of width like 768 bits or more, 1,000 bits, 2,000 bits, 4,000 bits. We know how such permutations can be constructed. And the idea how they operate is very simple. So message is XORed not onto the entire state, but all the state, but some so-called capacity bits. Capacity is twice the security level here. If you security level is 128 bit, then capacity should be 256. And the message is XORed. Then you call a permutation XORed. You call it permutation XORed. You call it permutation. Then message is consumed, and then you output this with the same rate as you consumed messages. And of course, permutation should be like ideal permutation in the sense that it should be to some extent indistinguishable from a random permutation. Well, it's a constant function, but you should more or less understand what this means. Okay, so the question is how to construct a permutation so that it would be snark or stark friendly. Okay, and the goal is to come up with a design that will be both stark and snark friendly to some extent. Because the difference, we know that in snarks, we optimize, we work in the prime field, in stark, we optimize on, we work in binary fields. But apart from that, our permutation can be built very similarly. The first attempt, what if we modify MIMC and replace the power of 3 with an inversion. And this is, of course, a very tempting step, and it's not actually trivial. So when the MIMC was invented, the authors tried this approach, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work, why? Because it's actually a very interesting exercise that you can demonstrate that no matter how many rounds you have, if you're doing just the constant addition between the inversions, that the resultant function will be a rational function of the input of degree one. The thing is, you can interpret your state as a fraction of like one linear over another, ax plus b over cx plus d. And of course, when you invert, then the numerator and denominator just swaps. And when you add the constant, the numerator changes, but the degree doesn't change. And unfortunately, the state will be a rational function of degree one, and collisions are easy because they're like simple linear equations or even quadratic ones, but they can be solved easily. So in the recent design, Jarvis, they decided to put some additional linear transformations after the inversion, but it's yet not unclear for me if this is secure enough, but I haven't managed to break it yet. The solution that is still obvious to me, because I would like to work with wide permutation, because I would like to leverage the permutation width to get a more efficient circuit for a tree, not for one hash function, for a tree, because that's the bottleneck. And the idea is that why wouldn't we use multiple S-boxes and use a very wide permutation? Then our function would be very similar to what we already have, for example, in AES or other designs. And well, let's call it, for example, inversion hash. And in this inversion hash, it operates as follows. So it's you see, like there are rounds, and in these rounds we alternate nonlinear transformations, which are denoted by S. So each S is an inversion in some field. It's not actually important for the design which field it is, because many attacks, they apply similarly. So of course you substitute as a parameter the field size, and in some cases the binary for binary field, some attacks work just a bit differently, but not tremendously differently. So generally, if your function is, if this construction is secure for binary field, it will be like almost secure with prime field, unless your primes or binary field is very small. But the construction is like this. So each S is an inversion in the field, and each A is an affine transformation in this field. That's basically a linear combination of inputs, invertible one. Another very nice idea is that for the middle of this construction, we do not need a full S-box layer, because the degree, so the algebraic functions, the algebraic attacks we work with, they can be kind of mitigated, they can be controlled, even with one S-box in the middle, or two. But with one is fine. And the parameters of this design are, of course, the width of an S-box. And I say that this S-box can be a prime field inversion for snarks, or this can be binary field inversion for starks. And you can take whatever binary field you want. So if you realize that, if you think now that 2 binary field is good for Stark, you can use it. If later you realize that for like Reed-Solomon performance you need 128-bit, you can choose a bit different function. They will work fine, and the analysis remains valid to most extent. So of course we conducted, like mainly my colleagues conducted, a number of different sorts of attacks on this design, because we already know this design from like 20 years old, just the S-boxes were smaller, and apparently algebraic attacks become the most effective here. But when you restrict ourselves, for example, to 128-bit security, you don't need many rounds here. So we are talking about like 6 to 8 rounds for outer rounds with full S-boxes, full box layers, and I know 5, 10, 15 middle rounds. So the total number of S-boxes is not terribly big, but it's interesting to optimize it. It's interesting to try to expand our permutation to see how big it should be to give us the best circuits for trees. And for Stark setting, what we have. So in our inversion hash, here in the left column, there's width. And we can calculate the formula, pretty much the same formula that Elie Bensasson has used for approximating Stark prover performance. And the resultant performance, predictable performance, is on the rightmost column, and it's logarithm of time formula. So this should be read that if you use SHA-256, for a tree of 2 to 32 elements, then and you need 128-bit collision resistance, then your that proven time should be about 2 to the 33 of something. If you use Pedersen hash, then it should be like 2 to the 22. So you see like almost 1,000 times faster. But of course, unfortunately, in the real world, the performance increase from SHA-256 is not that big because the SHA-256 circuit is very sparse. But still, if we use our inversion hash, we can, if we use like default width of 1,000 bits, we can still be like four times faster. Should be four times faster than Pedersen hash. And interestingly, if we increase the width, then we can do better. And for 1,500 bits and 2,000 bits, we can get best results. So 1,536 is the best we can get. It's like 60% faster than the smaller one. So our current proposal is to use this with how many, like, not very big number of rounds, like 8 outer rounds, and not that big number of internal rounds. And the tree will be twice smaller. For SNARKs, we can estimate the number of constraints, which is also interesting. So suppose that we use 255-bit S-boxes. If you want to use SNARKs on elliptic curves with 255-bit primes, if you want 384-bit primes, then you should kind of substitute them, and it will be somewhat similar. And we can calculate the number of constraints, and we can compare with Pedersen hash, which is like 40,000 constraints for the entire tree, and if I counted correctly. And for this sort of hash for the entire tree, if we use six S boxes in parallel, and for 127-bit collision resistance, then we should have only 666 constraints. Well, maybe indeed for a fair comparison, we should use a bigger prime, but I think the order of order will be the same. So I think this is quite promising. And well, of course, we advocate some additions to EVM or whatever will be used to natively support the operations in the field, basically for verifiers, because verifiers in Starks and Bulletproofs, they need some parts of the circuit, and some field operations should be supported. And optional, I don't know if the entire permutation should be as a precompiled contract, maybe it's not necessary, but we will see, though, depending on whether some checks against the entire permutation are performed, should be performed in a contract, and if so, then indeed a precompiled contract would help. So this is just the beginning. That's kind of the hash function that we cryptographers can design within a short time period, but I think there can be designed better. Better ones can be found. So we can try other Stark-friendly fields. We can work better with algebraic attacks. For example, the Grobner basis attacks are sort of kind of underexplored, and because as far as they claim to be the best in the settings, it would be very interesting to apply existing Grobner basis libraries to attacks and see if they indeed kind of perform as we expect. And it would be also cool to have some to fix some metrics and have some kind of competition that like everyone can suggest a hash function that optimizes the number of constraints somewhere and withstands security attacks up to I know to the 128. Maybe design some Merkle tree oriented hashing. There already exists tree based hashing, but maybe there can be something more optimal. And also, for example, maybe 128-bit security is not needed that much. Maybe if the hash function, if the proof should be like secure for only a short period of time, then maybe a lower security level would be nice. For example, 64-bit security level, I'd know maybe 56-bit security level, stuff like this, then we can have much, again, more compact designs and maybe with faster proofs and faster verifications. Thank you very much.
We have time for maybe one question.
So I'm sure you've heard about the new designs coming out for the Starks with Jarvis and Friday, although they're confined to the binary field. How would you describe the relationship between your work and that?
Hmm? How what?
How would you describe the relationship between your work and that? How do you see them?
I've just seen them 2 days ago, and basically their idea is in the MIMC with only one register to insert a fine layer. And that's not yet clear for me if this indeed withstands algebraic attacks, because I have some doubt, but I haven't found an actual attack, so maybe it's indeed secure, but I would be very careful. I think that third-party reviews are needed.
Another round of applause, please.